On this week's 51%, we talk about empowering women and men. First, a producer attempts to crack the mystery of men and starts the Testosterone Project.
You know, I hope that the Testosterone Project, if it can do anything, is to create more openness and sympathy about the journey that men are on, because women are really public about our journey.
Then we hear from a few high school students about feminism and gender equality. I'm Allison Dunn, and this is 51%.
But you're a man, your hands are up, your back is hairy, your talk is tough, your smell is scary. Here's what you're not: you're not a fairy. No, you're a beer drinking real life man. And when the beef comes out, you do the carving. You hate Tom Cruise, but you love Lee Marvin. You're a man.
Susie Arnett, a veteran of the television and media business, wanted to better understand men, calling them the greatest mystery of her life. And so she embarked upon the Testosterone Project. It's a 6-part web series that explores the evolution of masculinity in modern society through a variety of interviews with leading thinkers on the topic. Arnett's series is posted on goodmenproject.com, a site described as a diverse community of 21st century thought leaders who are talking about the way men's roles are changing in modern life and the way those changes affect everyone. I asked Arnett what prompted the Testosterone Project.
It's like I was in a place where it just seemed like my relationships with men were so challenging. And even the friends that I had out in Los Angeles, it seemed like all the men were in a state of collapse. And I know this isn't true for everyone, but there was a real trend going on of men who weren't able to find jobs, who weren't working, who weren't supporting their families. And it just made me really curious about what was going on. And so I started doing all this research because, you know, it's easy to look at something like that and think, oh, this is psychological on some level, or maybe it's some backlash to the women's movement or something like that. And so in the research that I did, I came across the study about testosterone levels in American men and how they were down almost 20%. And it just opened my eyes to this whole other possibility that maybe it wasn't mental, that maybe there was this physical component too. And so it started me on this journey of just researching and interviewing people. And my background is in documentary. And so I thought maybe I would make a film about this. And so I started filming all these interviews with different experts. And I ended up doing it as a web series, which I think was a much better form because it's very much of a dialogue and a conversation right now. You know, I don't think it's a fixed 90-minute story. It's really a conversation. And the more I started looking at it, the more it seemed like a big issue for a lot of people and a big question for a lot of people about what's happening to men in our culture today.
So how did you pick the topics? Where, you know, how did you get led in whichever directions you were? And just talk a bit about what you explored.
Well, I wanted to start with the body because I feel like whether you're a man or a woman, how we express ourselves in the world begins with a healthy body. And so I started talking to doctors, you know, nutritionists, experts like that, and started to look at how testosterone just expresses itself in the man's body because it's obviously the primary sex hormone and responsible for these primary sexual characteristics like big muscles, you know, assertiveness, you know, these kinds of qualities. And so it was so interesting to start there and look at what kind of forces are really impacting a male body in our culture, because what I found was that there's so many things that are especially detrimental to men right now. And part of my interest in all of this is I have a son. And so it's very much about, like, how do I help raise him to be a healthy man? And so I talked to some scientists who really focus on endocrine disruptors. And this is, you know, a really growing topic about how plastic, you know, some people would say we're swimming in a sea of estrogen right now because of the plastics, because of pesticides, because of all the chemicals that are in our environments, in our modern environments, and that these tend to be much harder on men than women. which is just interesting. And so it's part of this physical collapse on some level. And then I looked at things like movement. You know, I found a Cass Phelps who's a movement expert and really works with men to help them become more empowered. And he spoke a lot about the fact that men just don't move the way we used to. I mean, we live in a, you know, we were given these bodies. These bodies were designed for a life, a very different lifestyle than we live right now, right? You know, we're sitting a lot. We're on technology a lot. We have a lot of fine, small movements. And we've lost the need, or men have lost a lot of the need for the big muscles. You know, we're not building our own homes anymore. We're not growing our own food for the most part. Not for everybody, but in modern American Western society, this is more and more true. And so these kinds of changes take us farther away from maybe an essential nature. And when that doesn't get to be expressed, there's lots of consequences.
What is incredibly detrimental? I mean, you're talking about this, but what kind of took you aback when you're talking with your experts and they're saying, well, this mm-hmm. is what's causing collapse and this is, you know, X, mm-hmm. Y, and Z. What is it?
Well, you know, something that was actually the most surprising to me was diet. Because now this is not some big sexy thing, but the fact is eating carbs, eating a lot of sugar. I mean, you look at the modern American diet, right? A lot of processed food, a lot of carbs, pizza, bread, cookies, sugar, sodas, donut, whatever. That when a man eats a lot of sugar, there's something that's called aromatization, which is where testosterone gets converted into estrogen in belly fat. And so it's actually eating a high-carb, high-sugar diet actually will change your hormonal balance, which to me is kind of shocking, you know, because this connection between food and health, I mean, it's so obvious on some level, but a lot of people don't really fully understand that what they're eating is going to affect how they feel. It's going to affect their hormones. It's going to affect their ability to be assertive or get up and go and all those kinds of things.
Mm.
So that was really surprising to me because it's like sugar. It's bad for you. You shouldn't eat a lot of sugar, but no, it actually will affect your hormonal balance.
You described yourself as a product of the women's movement. And, you know, we started talking about, you know, why you really wanted to, I really want to just get a little bit more context about what drove you to the testosterone. I understand you know, what you said about your son, that's really great. But I just want to get a little more context about, and that you're a documentary filmmaker, well, this makes sense, about pursuing it in this way, but pursuing it at all. I mean, was there a tip-off point?
Well, you know, I feel like being a product of the women's movement, very much a daughter of the women's movement, I spent so much of my adult life working on my own empowerment and learning how to speak up for myself, learning how to stand up for myself. And I spent almost 15 years in corporate America working for big media companies where you had to fight, you know, to be heard. And there was a lot of politics and a lot of difficult, you know, corporate interactions. And so nothing was given to me in those work environments. And so, you know, it seemed like as I thought about it, that although I had, you know, loved men and hated men and analyzed men and tried to decode their behavior and their words and all of this, you know, over the last couple decades, I never really looked at men. I never really saw them on some level, that there was something about being a woman in my 20s and 30s and 40s, you know, in New York City and LA that had turned men into objects on some level to me. And so having a son was a big part of this, but also just like the collapse of my relationship made me start to think about, like, I don't understand men at all, you know, and I really need to. It's really important for me to do this. And so I think that was a big part of it, too, that realization that I hadn't been really seeing men.
Do you feel you see them now?
Yes. Yeah, much more so. I mean, I got to tell you something. I've had the most amazing conversations with men in the last year working on this project, because for the first time, I'm just curious. You know, I'm not trying to figure out how to get my needs met or how, what your needs are. You know what I mean? It's like it took me out of this relationship space and made me more into a researcher where men were this kind of interesting subject. And so it gave me a level of objectivity, which enabled me to see them more clearly on some level. And, you know, it's just given me so much more compassion, I think, for the struggle that men are going through, especially now. There's this new men's movement that's growing, right? You know, Robert Bly started a men's movement 25 years ago when he put Iron John out. Mm-hmm. And that really took off on some levels, and then it really faded. And right now there's this new movement emerging with a lot of young men, Wild Man University, things like this, where men are trying to get in touch with a level of empowerment that they feel like they've lost. And I think the really interesting distinction between the women's movement and the men's movement is that women really, we were fighting an existing structure, you know?
Mm-hmm.
It was, we were living, you know, obviously in a very different world, an oppressive, domesticated world, and then we were fighting for our rights. But for men, it's been very different, because what's happened to men is that the world has changed and they're now being forced to adapt. It's not like this proactive movement where we want to change something. It's more like the whole world has changed, and how do we now live in this world where we don't know what our roles are or expectations are? And so it's a very different kind of movement. It comes from a very different place.
You know, it's interesting. It sounds like you're saying, you know, women, when you said there was an existing structure, it made me think that there was something to break through or a barrier to be broken down. What is it that men are trying to get? What is the big picture here? What is the problem?
Well, it's so multi-layered. Mm. You know, we can look at it economically and we can say, well, women over the last 40 years have taken on a lot more roles than they used to have. And so I feel like what I'm seeing out there and all the research that I've done and conversations is that men are just lost in terms of what is their role. You know, what do we expect of them? And it feels like there's this confusion, too, around what are the really positive male qualities? Because a lot of the men who really took the women's movement seriously were kind of wounded by it. You know, there's this shame that a lot of men I've talked to have expressed about being a man, like something wrong with being a man.
Hmm.
And so, you know, because a lot of the women's movement, rightly so, talks about a lot of the oppression of violence against women. I mean, these things are all true, but in certain populations of men, they're having to kind of pay for the violence that other men have done. And so they're unable to be in their full power because there's a lot of fear of male power, you know, that it'll go crazy, that it'll hurt, that it'll destroy.
Because there's a history. And there's a history of that.
There's a real history. Absolutely. And this is absolutely true. And so I think what men are really struggling to find now is this question of how to be empowered without being a bully. You know, how to be really fully in your strength without being domineering. I think women also are looking at these same kinds of polarities, like how to be soft and still strong. You know, it's such a time of redefinition of gender roles that, you know, I hope that the Testosterone Project, if it can do anything, is to create more openness and sympathy about the journey that men are on, because women are really public about our journey. There's a lot of talk about it. There's a lot of books about it. There's a lot of dialogue about it. Maybe just because women are just better talkers.
Of all the work you've done so far, what kind of stays with you on a daily basis, or, you know, if at all, if there's something that just kind of rings frequently in your mind?
Well, I think the biggest lesson that I've got, and the thing I remember the most when I'm dealing with my son, for example, is just how important it is to listen, because I think men are really good at putting on this front of, you know, they want to be in charge. And this is a lot of social conditioning, obviously. They want to be in charge and in control and have the answer. And so my biggest lesson is really to get underneath that and listen in a really open way without any expectations, without any goals. And when I can do that, I feel like they have always opened up in a really beautiful way. You know, I think the most important thing for me has, or the biggest learning for me has been about just having more compassion, and that we're all on this journey. You know, I talk to a lot of my girlfriends about what does it mean to be a woman? And it's so different for everyone. And there's so many pictures in the world about what that looks like.
Mm-hmm.
You know, women's magazine, everything from women's magazines to anti-women's magazines.
Right.
You know.
And everything in between.
And everything in between. And, you know, it's just as true for men. They're in as much of a struggle and question around what does it mean to be a man as we are. And so as the more we can just cut each other a lot of slack and give each other that space to figure that out without needing each other to be something to us or for us, then I think we can all get along better. And, you know, I'm not just talking about men and women in some stereotypically gendered way. I think this is true for women and women and men and men, and just for the masculine and feminine in all of us. You know, how do we really bring these two forces together and understand each other? And, you know, part of it is science, and part of it is research, and part of it's just love, because I think understanding is always an act of imagination. You know, you never really know the other, but we imagine what we can know. And so if we can infuse that imagination with just some love and appreciation, I think it would go a long way.
So has the mystery of men been unveiled?
Not at all. No. Well, you know, I have to say, I understand. I'm much better. I understand much more what the issues are and what the buttons are, maybe. But it's such a huge, huge mystery that it can never be completely understood.
That was Susie Arnett, who created the web series The Testosterone Project, which can be found on goodmenproject.com. Arnett, a veteran of the television and media business who once had the role of vice president of programming for Lifetime Television, where she was responsible for supervising all program development for a spin-off channel targeted at women ages 12 to 34, is now an independent producer and consultant. She is a resident of Lenox, Massachusetts, and founder of Lightfield Media. No one knows how it started, and God knows how it ended. Fighting continues, women versus men. No one knows how it started, and God knows how it'll end. What does it mean to be a feminist? There are many misconceptions and stigma that come with the word. Nandina Chenjik is a feminist, filmmaker, and activist who creates awareness about topics such as domestic violence. She's also a high school student. Her goal is gender equality. Radioactive reporter Azeb Tuji tries to gain a greater understanding of the importance of empowering women.
What's the first word that comes to mind when I say feminism?
What?
The first word that comes to mind is Beyonce.
I'll be honest with you, I don't know what feminism is or what it means.
Power.
Empowerment and roller derbies.
Those are my friends Arag Papian, Betsy Madrid, Muhammad Abdi, Jesse McCall, and Layla McKinley. They couldn't wait to stop in the halls of Foster High School to answer some questions for me.
Do you hate men?
This is my classmate Nandina Chenik. She's a feminist, a filmmaker, and an activist at Foster High School.
Are you a man-hater? That's the most common question that people ask, or that's the assumption that they make. If you're a feminist, it means you hate men, and that women are trying to take over the world, and blah, 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 blah. We're trying to, like, squander men, which isn't true at all.
Nandina's the type of person you find sitting in front of class with her brown hair in a ponytail and wearing an eccentric patterned scarf around her neck. She was born in Sarajevo in 1996, just after the Bosnian War. It was just last year when she began to learn more about the war.
During the war, Serbian forces would go to towns or villages or whatnot and round up all the men and kill most of them and take the women and place them in rape camps where they would repeatedly rape women. And it wasn't just women, it was young girls as well. And a lot of those women are still reeling from what's happened to them.
She learned more about the war in her civics class because she was writing a speech for civics. It was her civics teacher, Andrea Gamboa, who helped her see a new perspective on the world.
You meet a lot of people who change your viewpoint, and Miss Gamboa was one of them. She really helped me get there, and for me, Miss Gamboa is like a role model. She's somebody I look up to because she embodies what I want to be in the future. She's independent, she's confident, she's a strong woman.
After that, Nandina began to start reading books and watching movies on how women are treated around the world. During her junior year, she felt inspired enough to contribute to a cause she was passionate about. Nandina made a short film titled Wicked about domestic violence and how destructive it could be towards a person. This is a clip from Wicked featuring her history teacher, Tracy Garza, about how common domestic violence is.
1 in 3 women have been beaten or sexually abused in her lifetime. And in some parts of the world, a girl is more likely to be raped than learn to read. Violence can result in physical, mental, sexual, and reproductive health problems.
Nandina isn't the only one at Foster High School wanting to create change. One of Nandina's friends, Layla McKinley, who is a quirky, curly-haired junior, is also wanting to make a difference. Layla was in psychology class one day, and the teacher showed them a controversial video on feminism.
Basically, the video was just a bunch of, like, 7-year-olds, like, dressed up as princesses, saying bad words and how these bad words aren't as bad as words such as pay inequality and domestic violence. And once the video was done, this boy sitting next to me said, wow, I hate watching little kids cuss. And I just thought to myself, you just missed the whole point of the video.
This video urged Layla to start a feminist society. She's tired of the lack of understanding others have of the feminist movement.
There's a Black Student Union, there's a Bhutanese Student Club, there's all of these different clubs. Why not one for women, more specifically the feminists of Foster High School?
Nandina is extremely pumped to be a part of the club with Layla. She thinks there are many ways to strengthen the feminist community.
Instead of putting other girls down for something, if we empower other women and we support them in whatever endeavors they're making, that will make a community of women stronger and make the goal to achieve more rights more feasible.
So what does the word feminism mean to you?
It's about equality and achieving equality in all means of life.
Nandina Chenik hopes to fulfill a leadership role in the near future where she can help other women fill positions of power locally and globally. For Radioactive, I'm Azeb Tuji.
Azeb Tuji produced this story as part of Radioactive Youth Media in Seattle. Learn more at kuow.org/radioactive. And that's our show for this week. Thanks to Katie Britton for production assistance. Our executive producer is Dr. Alan Shartok. Our theme music is Glow in the Dark by Kevin Bartlett. This show is a national production of Northeast Public Radio. If you'd like to hear this show again, sign up for our podcast or visit the 51% archives on our website at wamc.org. And you can follow us on Twitter at 51% Radio. Percent is spelled out. This week's show is number 1364.